Bang. How you going, everyone? We've got my mate Dave Pallo. Say g'day, Dave.
G'day, Dave.
Church and State Summit's coming up, mate. You excited?
It is. You've got that as your name today, Church and State.
Yeah, well, I didn't know you were going to have your name there.
The program asked me what my name is. I'm just an honest guy.
Dead set. Well, I'm going to make Church and State look like amazing or terrible.
It needs help.
Yeah, so, dude, it's what, third year in a row now, so.
Yeah, year three. Rock and roll. Yeah, year hopefully three. Hopefully we get about 300 people this year, but last year was 50% bigger than the year before, so hoping for 50% more again this year at least. But we're also taking it to some other cities just to see if the audience there is big enough to justify moving the whole summit from Brisbane in future years and, you know, sharing the love around the nation. There's a couple of people that have asked for it in different cities. Yeah. And so this year we're going to take a handful of the speakers to Auckland, Melbourne, and Sydney as well before we have, I think there's 15 or 16 speakers, maybe 17 in Brisbane over Friday night, Friday afternoon, Friday night, and then it's all day Saturday. On the 28th and 29th of February.
Awesome, bro. I've got my ticket already. I'm bloody cheering.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
You going to wear your hat?
Yeah, for sure. I'll wear my hat. Get you in trouble.
That's a good hat. That's nothing to be worried about. I completely endorse that message.
Yeah, that's right, mate. I can't even buy this hat. I tried to get another one because this one's a bit bloody getting a bit ancient and
it's getting a bit dusty.
Yeah, it's dusty for sure. Needs a wash. But yeah, the last few years, Church and State have been excellent, man. I've like always been inspired, and you know, it's about good value for money. You know, you kind of, you know, people pay. You do pay a fair whack of money to go to a lot of shows and conferences, and that's what you got to expect if you want the quality of speakers. And
yeah. You know, well, it's certainly not a money-making exercise. It's, but it is very expensive to put on, ridiculously expensive. If people knew how expensive it was, it would blow their mind. There's nothing like being in a room with like-minded people and realizing you're not alone. You're not, peeing in the wind all by yourself, that there's actually a whole, you know, the saying, the quiet Australians and the silent majority and things like that, you just realize how true that is. And that Twitter is not the real world. and there's actually a whole bunch of people who really want to make Australia great again, just with the same traditional values that we built it on.
Yeah, that's it. It's like real good to see like all the different speakers, and then you're like, bang, 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 all these different people who are actively pushing back against some of the madness going on. And you have like heaps of politicians who come there and you're like, dude, these guys actually have Christian values, you know what I mean? They're not afraid to stand up for against the madness of like late-term abortion and all the bloody crazy stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the main thing about the whole thing, it's Church and State Summit, so it's like, activating Christians to be more politically involved, eh? Because Christians for a long time have been just like, oh, nah, apolitical, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just staying out of it. But it seems like, you know, we've had a, you know, I just remember the gay marriage vote, and it's like, love is love. It's just about the gay marriage and nothing else will change. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And now it's just like not many years down the track, and they're talking about, what is it, Tasmania, you can get a $3,000 fine for misgendering someone, and you know, they want to take bloody gender off birth certificates. You hear of gender neutral bathrooms, and then you look at the drag queen story time, all this stuff, you're like, geez, man, they've kind of gone a bit nuts on that, eh? It wasn't just about the gay, the you know, two consenting men or women wanting to get married, you know.
Well, they never lacked equal rights. They were able to live together, do whatever they wanted in the privacy of their own bedrooms. They were able to have shared superannuation and access to healthcare, and their legal rights were exactly the same. But if you're going to make up rights that don't exist and use that to argue for a lack of equality, well, I mean, nobody can even talk with you because you're just not on the same page as reality. You're making things up, and there's no way you can have a rational conversation with somebody like that. So marriage is a word and it has a meaning, and you don't get to vote on changing the meaning. Marriage is two, ask any tradesman, marriage is two complementary different parts that fit together and work together, and they get joined and become one. Yeah. Whether you're talking plumbing or electricity or other things, you've got a male part, and the opposites are what are like. I did a plumbing apprenticeship straight out of school, and I was mind blown. You know, young Christian kid. My dad's a academic kind of person. I had never seen, you know, handyman work before, and then here's the tradesman using marriage as a construction term. I'm like, wow, that's actually, it's actually a term that has meaning. You don't get to undefine that term because it's popular. And so, you know, once reality's optional, you know, where society goes with that kind of thinking, reality is optional. We get to vote against it if we don't like it.
I like the remember how is it Bruce Jenner, how he became Caitlyn Jenner? Yep. And didn't he had a sex change. Yep. And then they came out and they asked him, oh, do you support gay marriage? And Caitlyn Jenner's like, no, I do not support gay marriage.
Really?
She came out and said she didn't support it. Yep. And like, so like, I think out there's a lot of gays and trans people who probably aren't so extreme. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, of course, yeah.
And I think they've been I work with vegans. It's funny, like the Hindu guys who are vegans, and you're like, there's like a billion Hindu vegans, and they're not assholes. But then it's like we have a tendency to just make these extremist losers, don't we? Like, but they come out of the woodworks, and you're like. You know, I'm sure gay people as a whole, even drag queens, I don't think they want or care about any of this stuff. It's like a minority in a minority that are, man, I don't know why they push so hard and create all these, you know, they're calling us enemies. They think like just because I'm a Christian, or it's like the Israel Flower thing, you know, like, so I'm a Christian. Am I going to like quote the Bible and lose my job now? Because, you know, we voted on gay marriage, and like here we are a few years down the track, and it's like it's gotten so out of hand.
Right.
Like it is out of hand at that point of Absolutely. Israel. What's happened with Israel?
If your employer can put a clause in your contract which regulates your religious freedom outside of work activities and hours and property, that's a really, really huge violation of your personal freedom in this nation. And we still don't know whether or not that's legal. They claim it isn't. And a whole bunch of people who are prejudiced against Israel Folau and call him a homophobe and call me a homophobe because I agree with God and Israel agrees with God. And if that's an arrogant position, paint me so. But I actually think it's arrogant to disagree with God. But if agreeing with God makes you a homophobe, you know, these people are saying, well, if it's in your terms, if it's in your contract that you're not allowed to make these homophobic comments, then you're not allowed to make them. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the better question is, why would you be allowed to put that in somebody's contract? That's like telling them they have to sleep in the fridge. Like, that's just a ridiculous invasion of somebody's private life that's got nothing to do with work at all. You don't get a right to regulate that.
I wonder if the unions would ever step in on this. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think,
well, they
like,
should.
How
they
many
were
teachers and nurses and all
they're
these
not
professions?
Honest, they're not honest, and they're not for workers' rights. They're for leftism. And whenever they can use workers' rights to bash conservatism, the free market, capitalism, and people who actually believe in profit, then they will be for workers' rights in that extent. But the minute it contravenes leftist, socialist, political values, then the workers are the least important thing in their thing. So, no, unions wouldn't do that. But, you know, there are some unions or professional associations who are starting to actually champion workers' rights in a very generic way, like they just truly don't care about the Labor Party or the Liberal Party, and all they're interested in doing is representing their employees. Their members.
Yeah.
And they struggle because the law in Australia. This is a major area that would help Australia really become great again, is if the unions were deregulated. At the moment, they're highly regulated. According to the law, there's only so many unions that are allowed in. So they have no competition in industries. There's actually a monopoly. So they get to, they might not be so much rigging the price, and they are, but they're actually rigging the offering, the service. What do you get from your union? Well, there's no other option. So whatever they say is the right thing for a union to do, that's not negotiable.
Yeah, imagine if you had more of a, I don't know, conservative,
imagine if you were allowed,
capitalistic union who's like, hang on, we want to make sure this industry thrives.
What if?
Less regulations, I don't
what
know.
If,
like,
what if union member satisfaction was the highest ideal and objective of a union? Imagine that. Imagine if you actually worked for the people paying your fees and made what they wanted your number one priority instead of the way it currently is at the moment. And if you think that is the case, then what's the risk from competition? If there's no lack of delivery, no lack of service quality, then what is there to fear? If the price is already great and the service is already excellent, then the existing status quo entrenched elite unions have nothing to fear from competition, but they do.
It's nuts that, like, you know, you imagine if you're a teacher right now and or you're a nurse, you're a doctor, there's all these late-term abortion, there's, you know, some stuff they want to push in schools, and you might be going, like, this is not just Christians. It might be Hindu, Buddhist, Sikh, Jew, Muslim, whatever. Like, anyone who's got, could be an indigenous person who has more of a traditional connection to that culture. Yep. Do you know what I mean? Like, church, we're talking church and state here, but it's like, you know what? Like, if you, Dave Pallo, you're standing up for more of a conservative traditional value system, there's so many other new Australians, you know, or the traditional landowners who actually have more of a traditional, I don't think they like, I don't know if they're interested in, I don't know if they're interested in public libraries having, you know, that tax-funded public libraries having drag queen story time, or the public tax-funded public schools maybe considering having trans, gender-neutral bathrooms. Yeah. I don't know if we've seen that one yet, but, you know,
There's plenty of traditional Australian groups, Indigenous Australian groups, who spoke out against the undefinition of marriage. Obviously the media doesn't share those stories quite a lot, but if you look for them, you can find them.
And I always thinking, like, there was always this, we've got to be tolerant. Then they started saying multicultural. But if, like, you and I are Christian, Israel Flowers Christian, all these people, we have, you know, more of a traditional culture.
Yep.
We have a traditional culture, you know.
Yeah.
This is our tradition. This is our culture. And
it's important to get the definitions right. Like, I'm 100% for multiculturalism if we're talking about ethnicities and not ideas. Like, every tribe and tongue Every colour, everybody, welcome. Come on in, make Australia your home, work hard, contribute, have a great time, respect the law, and welcome. But not every idea is welcome. And culture, you know, sometimes it talks about colour, but more often it talks about the set of values and beliefs and social inclinations and habits that you have. Yeah. And just not all ideas are equal, and therefore not all cultures are equal. Yeah. Some ideas are really bad. And to if you replace the word multiculturalism with multi-value systems, well, now we've got trouble. Like, now it's obvious how bad an idea infinite multi-value systems, multiculturalism is. Infinite ethnic diversity, 100% fan. But infinite cultural diversity, idea, no, not all value systems are the same. Not all cultures are equal.
So the left wing, you know, people, they're the ones who push this idea of multiculturalism, but they're not tolerant
to your
culture. Well, yeah. Maybe both of them have, but
yeah.
So they're not tolerant to what conservative traditional cultures. You know what I mean? Like, so if we're talking ideas, because
every other culture, if you're like a Muslim, except ours.
Yeah, like if you're a Muslim or a, you know, a conservative Muslim or Jew or Hindu or Buddhist,
yep,
Christian, they kind of, we all do have more of a family based culture. Like, they would be pro life, they would be pro traditional marriage, you know, between a man and a woman. So,
yeah, that's right.
What's going on here? Like, this is where I just don't understand. They keep saying multicultural, but Israel Folau says this is my culture, this is my tradition. And he says that you could look at any most traditions,
and it's very true. It's not an excuse. It's very true. Christianity is a deeply central part of a lot of Pacific Islander cultures.
Yeah.
It's not an excuse. It's absolutely true. But all of a sudden, multiculturalism has its limits.
Yeah, well, it totally has its limit. It's like the only limit they want. It's like they'll have the LGBT culture, the feminist culture, the vegan culture. It seems like they're quite tolerant to extreme Islamic culture. Like, that's a strange. That's like really strange. But then you got. And then it's like Israel. It's like Anthony Mundine has said some ridiculous things about homosexuals. Like, it's nuts.
Really,
10 times worse than bloody than Israel Folau. Do you know what I mean? But where's the tolerance, Dave?
Let's not
the
go there.
The tolerance, man. They're not like, they're just so. This is something I always say to. You know, I had some young lady, I think it was a pro-life rally, and she was walking past and she got a bit opinionated talking to me. And I said, I'm like, hang on a minute. Do you believe in multiculturalism? Yes. And I said, oh, well, this is my culture. This is my tradition.
Yeah.
Do you understand that? Do you respect the fact that there's millions of Christians who don't want to participate in a whole range of things? They don't want their taxpayers' dollars paying for late-term abortions of healthy babies. You know, they don't want to. Yeah. They don't want the public libraries used for drag queen story time. We're not interested. We don't want these safe school programs. What do they call it now? Respectful relationships, where they want to teach gender-neutral language. Or
I don't know why they keep changing the name. We know what they want to teach. It's gender theory. That's all it is.
Yeah,
you just give it a sweet. Smelling name, but it's like spraying perfume on a dog turd in the backyard. It's you're not tricking anybody. It is what it is.
It's a gold tooth rat, you know what I mean, running around.
Yep. Hey, we got these comments, live comments coming in on the side. Looks like from actually, it actually does have both comments, Facebook and YouTube.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, you can see a little icon on where they've come from. Richard Mooney's watching on Facebook.
Oh, and sweet.
Everybody else is on YouTube.
Nice. Richard, he said it was a lie from the start. I think that was for the gay marriage.
Yep.
That's how they, like, tricked people with the gay marriage, hey? Like, I'm pretty sure the whole everyone who campaigned for the no vote, everyone, all it was if you're afraid of everything else that will change, vote no. That was the main message, eh? And the yes side said, no, we're not going to change anything. We're not going to change anything. And it's just like it was the thin end of the wedge and it was just the beginning, hey?
Yeah.
So Richard's right. It was a lie from the start.
Yep. Peter V says the left believe in Zod, not God. I'm not sure what Zod is, but.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. Unions are less than 15% of private workforce. Yeah, well and truly.
Yeah.
And Anxious Aussie says members of the NTEU, I'm guessing that's some kind of union, at the climate rally today. No surprise there. I'm going to Google
dear,
it.
What did Dear say? She said, Dear reckons my drag queen friend is anti-drag queen story time. I wouldn't mind getting that drag queen friend of yours on me bloody live, dear.
He's talking about teachers, National Tertiary Education Union.
I went to the Labor Day march last year.
Mm.
You should come with me, Dave, eh? Like, I'm going to go again this year.
And, I don't know if I can keep up with you. You're rowdier than me.
we went, right, a few of us, and we just stood peacefully on the side of the road and we watched the unions walk past.
Yep.
I filmed it all. But, yeah, they had the teachers' union, nurses' union, all the different trades and, you know, boilermakers, steel workers, meat workers. At the very end, the Labor Party marched, right, followed by the Greens, followed by the Australian Communist Party with, like, big red and yellow hammer and sickle bloody signs. I couldn't believe it.
I don't know how anybody... Like, I would rather walk down Main Street in a clown costume than with a communist badge. Like, that's utterly humiliating. How embarrassing. Yeah. Like, there's two possibilities. One, you have absolutely no idea of communism in history. Or two, you don't care. And I don't know what is more embarrassing. That's just how... shameful to be a out and proud communist. Wow. Yeah,
they're nuts, eh? Have you ever read the Communist Manifesto?
No, Karl not. Marx? No, man, I mean.
You should have a crack. It's only a short read. Like,
right?
It's not that bad, right? I've studied it, but
I haven't read it like cover to cover.
Yeah. So they have conflict theory in there, hey? Like, that's like a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, it like I just couldn't. When I started reading, I got to conflict theory, and then I was just like, "This is identity politics. Like, this is actually what they believe." And the reason I read the Communist Manifesto, it was a Guardian article, and they're like, "Right wing conspiracy theorists believe believe identity politics is somehow attached to Marxism," and then they had a link to Karl Marx Communist Manifesto. So they were saying all right wingers are conspiracy theorists and we're nuts because identity politics, they reckon, didn't have anything to do with Karl Marx. So I click on the link and I reckon I read the thing for 15 minutes before I got to the conflict theory section, you know, and I'm like, this is identity politics. This is them, you know, they think it's a class struggle. You know what I mean? Black against white, men against women. They think marriage is a form of oppression. And, you know, I'm just thinking, what the heck? I can't work it out. And, one thing I think about the gay marriage, I'm thinking some gay people, they want to become like the domesticated married life, move into the suburbs with the white picket fence and the family sedan, do you know? Some gay people, maybe they genuinely were like, I want to get married. I want to live a quiet, humble family kind of monogamous life. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And you're like, so I'm thinking, well, that is a contradiction to the conflict theory because in Marx's conflict theory, they go on how marriage is a form of oppression.
Yep.
And it's
taking workers out of the industry. out of the economy for one person to raise the children while one person provides the income is taking one person out of the economy. So, yeah, that was one of the early things of communism in 1917 when Stalin introduced it all. To essentially replace mothers, and they basically undefined marriage. This is a very old play by communism. So they undefined marriage and said, look, no more monogamy. You can sleep with whoever you want. And in fact, women, you don't need to look after kids anymore. You get to go and work in the factories, and the government will raise your children. We'll even cook the meals for you. So it became very communal. And you know, Russian men are going, yee-haw, I don't have to be faithful to my wife anymore or be responsible for raising the children I put in her. And it became a huge plague on society. It didn't take very many years for there to be an abundance of children with no people taking responsibility for them, and they would just overran the streets and created lawless gangs which couldn't effectively be contained at all. Later on in the communist experiment, they had to prioritize heterosexual monogamous marriage because somebody needed to take responsibility for the kids. It's an old story, and unfortunately, we forgot history within 100 years.
I wonder if I must have heard this from one of your conferences, eh? Because I do remember reading about this or hearing about it, looking at the stats. Maybe it was Stefan Molyneux did a thing about it, and it was about in the Soviet Union how it just went. They made like divorce became like you could just sign a bit of paper, and your marriage was over.
Yep.
So what is it? No grievance divorce or something? Yep. Or irreconcilable differences?
No fault divorce.
No fault divorce. So they bought in that, and then marriages fell to pieces, and people getting divorced, and people having abortions, and next minute they're like, oh, crap, the population is declining and all this. The whole society started to crumble. It's nuts, eh?
Very much.
But not here sure we
Spencer
go,
is not sure Spencer's enlightened me. Zod is Superman's nemesis.
That's right. Is that the guy who blew up the east coast of the west coast of America? Or no, that was probably Lex Luthor.
I don't remember my Superman movies that well.
Shockers. I've got your church and state website up. Should we have a look? Cool. Bang, here we go, mate. I'll just let everyone know, hey, like, go to Church and State. You can register, bang, right there. This is the third annual summit. This is my third year in a row, so.
Awesome. Like,
who's this fella, Dr.
Brown? This guy's amazing. He's got a really great YouTube channel. He's a theologian. He's a Christian thinker. He's written over 35 books. He's a Jew. His wife's a Jew. His parents are Jews. Her parents are Jews. So very Orthodox, very traditional Jewish upbringing. And at 17 years old, he was a heroin-injecting, LSD-using Jewish rock drummer. so totally irreligious. But then he met Jesus in a very real and personal way that radically changed his life, and all of that worldly stuff fell off, and he started a life as a Jewish believer in Jesus. It's pretty radical. But he went on to become an academic. He did a doctorate, a PhD in near and far, I think it was Near Eastern languages and literature. Really, really smart guy about ancient Hebrew and biblical translation, etc. And just went on to study heaps and heaps of stuff. But he's written over 35 books, and a lot of them are about the culture war. And he's really, really keen on Christians getting involved in discussions about important public issues because we care, not because we're looking for power or control. We don't care about those things. What we do care about is our neighbors and justice in our nation and liberty in our nation. And if we love the word of God and we love our neighbors, then how can we not get involved in politics? Because God's justice and liberty is something that should be a blessing for everybody, not just the people who are in the kingdom of God, who are Christians. Mm. So, yeah, that's his message, and he's really good. He's written a book called his most recent book is one called Jezebel's War on America. And he talks about in one of the ads he's done for me, he talks about how it could just as easily have been New Zealand or Australia in that book title. But he's talking about the different aspects of the culture war today, which are remarkably similar to the account in the Old Testament about Jezebel, a heathen woman from a pagan nation who got brought into the people of God, into Israel, and just corrupted everything. And in so many ways, he's saying, look, in radical feminism, you see the spirit of Jezebel. In the abortion on demand, industrialized, taxpayer-funded, you see the spirit of Jezebel. In the attack on religious freedom and on, you know, mocking the prime minister just because he's a Christian and a Pentecostal Christian at that, you see the spirit of Jezebel who actually put prophets to death because they believed in the one true God. And he goes on and just shows all these different things. And at the summit, he's going to just paint that picture in a really full way, but then he's going to talk about how we combat that as Christians, how we identify it, and then how do we solve it? Because it's not all doom and gloom. We actually know the outcome, but again, what's the solution? How can the average plumber or teenager jump in and make a difference in this culture if they love God and love their nation, love their neighbor? So yeah, that's who that dude is, Dr. Michael Brown. Nice. And very, very excited to be able to bring him to Auckland, Melbourne, Brisbane, and Sydney.
Oh, awesome. Sweet. Mm. It's good. Just like you were saying, you know, it's like Christians equipping Christians to do something. Mm. I remember going to remember the Reclaim Australia rallies? I went to one of them rallies.
Yeah, I heard of
them. I went to one of these rallies, and there was like a big Aussie dude. He was a ex-soldier, veteran, and he's like, fuck these Muslims. And then he's like, I think I was like, and then he said like, fuck all you Christians too or something. And I was like, oh, bro, like sometime maybe it's like the Christians aren't really doing enough. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I felt like I was like, as a Christian at that point, I'd been volunteering at my church for 10 years in like youth and kids ministry and young adults.
Mm.
And I think that was my first rally I went to. And I was like, whoa, you know, Christians like me, we're living in our bubble, our little church bubble. That's and right. Life's sweet, man. Life's all good. You got kids, church, youth, young adults, you got men's groups, women's groups, you got Sunday church together, everyone's together, like it's all good. We've got our culture, our community, and we're thriving, and it's like nothing's going wrong for us. We're looking after the poor in the area, and we're looking after doing life well. And I remember seeing that dude, and I was like, whoa, I got to do something here. I can't just – if I keep in the church, volunteering.
It's a really good choice of words, do something. It's a relatively old song, a couple of years old now, that's made by Matthew West. It's called Do Something. Look it up on YouTube. It's fantastic. But I've actually had that covered by a musician I know. He's recorded a cover. And the lyrics are just amazing because it talks about Christians looking at the world, looking at all the problems that are going on in the world and in society, and then looking at God and saying, why don't you do something, God? And he says back to us, I created you. It's a really, really good song. And so the theme of Church and State Summit this year is intervene. Because there's a verse in Isaiah, ancient prophet, who says that God saw that truth was outlawed, that justice was forbidden, and justice was missing. And God looked and he was, you know, upset that there was no justice, but he was amazed and appalled that no one intervened to help the oppressed. Mm-hmm. I'm like, whoa, I don't want God to be appalled by me sitting on the sidelines. We got to get in there and do something.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
The that veteran, I'll tell you this story, true story, man.
Right.
He was going off his head. He's like, fuck you, fuck these Muslims and these Christians, or everyone. I don't know why he's saying about Christians. And he was like just about to jump over the there was like a cop barricade blocking, there was counter protests.
Yeah.
He was about to jump over and I was like, brother, don't do it. You'll get locked up. And he's like, I'm a veteran, they're calling me racist. I fought for everyone in this country, you know. And he's like, it just pisses me off, they're calling me a racist.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a racist. And he was infuriated by it. I think he did like two tours of Iraq and one of Afghanistan. But I got to speak to him. I got to speak to him and share my faith with him and I prayed for him as well.
Wow.
So I was like, and he was the biggest, toughest looking mofo. I was thinking, brother, don't jump the fence. That's what they want. Like they were Antifa, man. You know, they had the face masks. They were taunting him. This is what they do. They want a response. You know, pushing this. Maybe he's a good enough guy. Pushed to the limit. You know, he was pushed to the limit. And I was like, brother, don't. Like, I had to put my fucking arms on him. Don't do it. Don't do it. Calm him down. And I thought this guy would break me in half. Like, he would break my jaw in one hit. Like, he's a big man. I was scared. Dude, I had my Aboriginal mate with me. I was like, come with me because we've got to fucking help this dude. And he probably thought, like, who is this loser? But, 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, we're like, calm down. We're praying for him. I got to share my testimony with him. I was like, yeah. And, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. It was a few years before I came to my first church and state summit because I remember when I was seeing you and I was like, Dave, how can I help you?
Yep.
And then we did that. We went to the pro-life rally, right? And then you were my first interview. And then from there, that's how this all started. Do you know what I mean? Like literally, I reckon that experience at the Reclaim rally, because I thought as a Christian, I have to do something. I was like, I thought to myself, you know, God has the Great Commissioning. Jesus gave the Great Commissioning, go to all the nations, right?
Yep.
And I was like, well, God's called us to Australia. God has a heart for Australia. He has a heart for every nation. He has a heart for this nation. And I'm like, here's an Aussie veteran who loves this nation, would give his life for the nation, and he's furious at the church because the church hasn't done enough. And I was like, I need to love this nation. I need to do something for this nation. That's what I thought, you know. And I was like, geez, man. We bought kids from – you know, even we brought like Aboriginal kids to the Reclaim Australia rally. You know, it's supposed to be, it was supposed to be racist, you know.
What was the point of the Reclaim Australia rally? What was the goal?
People were concerned about Muslim immigration. I think there'd been, you know, there's probably there was the terrorist attack in Indonesia, and I think there might have been the Lint Cafe thing by then. So people were worried about the – and this is a thing. This is what I was getting at the Reclaim rally. People were like – what people were saying there was you only need 1%, 0.1% of a person to do something extreme, like one extreme Muslim, 1%, 0.1% of them to do something extreme, and then we start to lose our – rights, our freedoms, our privacy.
Yep.
And that was like, that was the main thing I was getting from people. They were just like, we don't need bombs going off on the street. Australia is fine how it is. As soon as people start killing people, we're going to lose our freedoms, you know.
I honestly think Antifa and their ilk are a far bigger threat in Australia and far more violent and far more brazen and willing to defy the police and incite violence. There's lots of threats, but look, man alive, there's just the ridiculous, noxious communists, socialists, Marxists, and all of those, their ilk, again, who rage against every tradition simply because it's a tradition without thinking. They're just vandals of society. I think these are the people that we should be alarmed about. Not alarmed to a point of fear or depression, but alarmed to a point of action and intervention. Mm-hmm.
My experience with Antifa, I seen them. We went to Stephen Molyneux, right?
Yep.
Walked in there. They were abusing the shit out of me, Antifa. I'm like, one of our young guy who was with us, 16, stole his MAGA hat. There's nothing you could do. Like,
no.
They could steal your property front of the police.
Yep.
In front of the police.
Well, they're socialists. It's their policy.
The cops weren't going to do anything. A journalist from The Unshackle got bashed that night from Antifa. Dude had to get surgery, couldn't go to work, lost his job.
Yeah,
I've seen them at a. We went to a.
Hey, we got a good comment that'll get me going.
Oh yeah,
Off Grid John reckons church and state need to be separated. Off Grid John.
Well, you know when they. Can
I've probably got about 2 or 3 minutes left, but what do you reckon? What do you reckon, Dusty? Church and state need to be separated. True, false, other.
Mate, I think the state is taking too much of our money. They're taking my money. I can't opt out of paying my taxes, so I'm going to put my hand up. And when it comes to a conflict with my faith, I'm going to put my hand up and put my 2 cents in as a Christian. When it comes to late-term abortion or drag queen story time in public libraries, and the list goes on, I have every right as a Christian to say, hang on, mate, I'm not interested. This goes against my culture, my tradition.
Just while you're saying that, I want to ask Off Grid John if you're still watching, just quickly, because we've got to wrap this up, but... just quickly, what do you mean church and state need to be separated? More information. But keep going, Dusty.
There is a benefit to a separation of church and state, and that's that the government does fuck a lot of things up, and I'm glad they're not involved in my church. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm glad it's not a politician in there. You know, it's not some idiot politician in there, and I'll be going, oh, man, that would just make me not want – that would probably make – less people be interested in the church. Do you know what I mean? So I'm glad there's a separation of church and state. I'm glad that the church isn't the state and I can voluntarily be in the church and I am the church and it's not some politician. But that doesn't mean that Christians, we're a part of this nation and we are involved and more so we're going to be involved in politics, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Off Grid John's come back and said, first 4 commandments personal, last 6 can be judged. Okay, so let me say what church and state is not. Church and state is not the imposition of religion on people who don't want to. Church and state is not the legislation that you have to be Christian. That you have to go to church, that you have to tithe, that you have to believe in God, that you have to follow Jesus's perfect moral example. That's not what church and state is. Church and state is not a religious organization having an official role in government, like the Catholic Church getting 6 seats in Parliament House because they're the Catholic Church and for no other reason. That's not at all. You know, the church being able to dictate policy to the government, the organization of the churches and denominations being able to dictate policy to Australia or any state. That's not what church and state means. The separation of church and state, section 116 of our constitution, and I think it's the First Amendment in the American constitution, which is where we get the saying from. The phrase separation of church and state doesn't appear in the American constitution or legislation, doesn't appear in the Australian constitutional legislation. It's actually a discussion point that one of the American founding fathers used to describe making sure that the whole reason they left England to flee religious persecution wasn't going to be repeated again by the government imposing beliefs on people and controlling their religious freedom, limiting their religious freedom in the new colonies, that they were going to be able to believe and worship the Christian God any way they wanted to. Absolute freedom. And so the government had zero involvement in organized religion. That's the direction of protection, protecting Christians from government. Now, what we are trying to teach at the Church and State Summit is that there's a whole bunch of voters in our liberal, inclusive democracy who have a right to a voice, a right to a vote, a right to a debate, to participate in conversations and arguments about the important public issues that we all get to decide together. We have the same right as the unionist and the environmentalist and the abortionist and every other person out there with a barrow to push. We have the same right. And we actually think we've got good ideas that are worth listening to. Now, if we bring a good argument or not, it's beside the point. No one's being forced. No one's getting imposition of beliefs. But we are in a democracy and everybody gets a voice. And so the separation of church and state is not the separation of religious people from democracy. Scott Morrison gets to be elected and become prime minister, even though he's a Christian. Dusty gets to bring his Bible to the voting booth and you can't stop him. He can have the scriptures on his heart or his head. And good luck to you. If you want to ban religion in public, you're better off finding a communist nation like China, because we're not talking about anything authoritarian. We're actually talking about more liberty than ever and just trying to win the argument with good ideas, good evidence, and good logic. If I come and tell you we can't change marriage because Leviticus, it's probably not going to persuade anybody. I've actually got to come with anthropologists and sociologists and logic and evidence and data and appeal to your concern about the kids who are going to be deliberately denied a mother or a father. You know, vote arguments from scripture aren't going to persuade you, but nevertheless they might be part of what persuades me. That doesn't make my vote invalid. So that's pretty much let's see what Off-Grid John has said since then. Exodus 20, first four should not be legislated, last six are moral law, England imposed law, re-first four commandments. Yeah, so what, 11 says he's an atheist, but who cares, I don't force my stuff on anybody. Well, you do, that's actually a lie. If you unless you're one of those people who doesn't vote, but if you vote, you impose on other people the same way as we all do. And that's my two cents. I get a vote. I get to use it. You get a vote. You get to use it. You don't get to tell me how to use it. I don't get to tell you how to use it. But we can have a discussion.
And I always think this. What happens when you stop paying tax, Dave? What happens when if you stop paying your land rates bill?
The sheriff will come and take your stuff off you and then he'll come and put you in jail.
We're all going to jail. Like, there is nothing voluntary about the taxation.
Yep.
It's, you have to pay it, man. If you don't pay it, you're going to jail. I'm going to jail. So, you know, it's taxation with representation. It's supposed to be. And we have a vote. This is democracy. Like, every taxpaying citizen
yep,
has a bloody choice in what the hell's going on. We can vote for people who represent our values. Like, you know, this is the reality. You know, Christians need to understand that.
Odd Mate John has said, imposition of Sunday closing laws is against the separation of church and state. Guys, you got to understand this, that when the majority of voters share a value system, that's the imposition of democracy, not the imposition of those value systems. It's just that simple. The majority rules, not the religion rules, the majority rules. And so if the majority of people want shops closed on Sunday because they're religious, their reasons are irrelevant. It's democracy that's getting imposed. It's the will of the majority that's getting imposed. You don't need to approve of their reasons. This is the system of government we've got. The alternative is a monarchy or a dictatorship of some other sorts. I mean, you can't complain about the law being motivated by religious people. It's like you don't get to censor people's beliefs in the ballot box. It's just think a little bit deeper, guys.
Did you see the Swedish Prime Minister's saying she wants Wednesdays off, Wednesday weekend? So it's like Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday.
Right.
And I'm like, this lady, I love her. I want every Wednesday off as well. boost productivity by 20%, bro.
And yeah, Roots Calhoun, it is mob rule. And you just got to hope that the mob is virtuous and has a moral compass. And that's the sum of it. Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Dusty.
No worries, mate. We'll have to come on anytime you like. We should do it more often, bro.
Yeah, I agree. It's fun. It's fun. Well, and you're probably really bad for my reputation, but I can take a hit. You're a good guy.
You'll be right, mate. Soon we reckon we'll get you doing a beer bong or what?
One time? No, I don't think so.
One day. You say that now, but, you know, 6 months down the track.
I'll go some hardcore double shot caffeine, maybe.
Bloody Dave Palo doing a vortex straight down the golf.
You're going to have to educate me. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, mate. I'll show you. I'll do a video.
All right.
Your inbox will just be full of vortex videos from now on. You know, just be like, Dave.
It sounds like I should do be a shooey.
They're saying, Dave, would you do a shooey, Dave? Like Post Malone, bro.
What with beer or champagne or something?
Yeah. You win the race. At the end of church and state, at the end of the night,
I don't think so.
With the champagne.
I think I would have to have been without hydration for a very long time before I was tempted to drink from a stinky shoe.
I'm corrupting you. See?
Hey, you know what? This might be my Scottish blood, but if the incentive was good enough, maybe then. If we're talking about, I think there'd have to be at least 3 zeros on the end of the number, though.
Start saving up the money, everyone. That'll be a big super.
If it means
chat.
That much to you for me to do a shoey, it'll take at least a grand.
One day it might happen, bro. If it blows up,
let's do it.
Yeah. All right, bro. Well, I reckon I'll wrap up this live as well because we've almost hit an hour. So it was good to have you on, Dave. And I just encourage everyone to go to churchandstate.com and
.com.au.
So whether if you're in New Zealand or, you know, you're going around, you're doing an Australia tour pretty much. So Church and State's coming your way.
We're starting in Auckland, then heading to Melbourne, then Sydney, then Brisbane. So that's 25th of February in Auckland, and then Melbourne and Sydney the next two nights, and then the last two nights, 28th and 29th of February in Brisbane. Churchandstate.com.au. And just for you guys, early bird pricing goes for another 10 days.
And at the end of it all, Dave's going to just take that shoe off and just bang.
Gumboot or something really gross.
Get you in trouble.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And I'll see you all on Thursday.
Yep. Ciao, bye.
God bless. Cheers, bro.